a couple of portions of God's Word, which we trust will be of interest and of blessing to us. So those who have your Bibles, will you read with me, please, from Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22. We have here the law of brotherhood. The Israelites were to be very careful about how they treated their brethren. And in Deuteronomy chapter 22, there's just one verse that I would like us to concentrate on for tonight. Verse 8. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a parapet for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from there. I don't know if any of you here are involved in the building of a new house. My wife and I moved a few months ago to a new location. We now reside in an adult community, and I got a little reprieve from mowing lawns and caring for some of the outside work, with diminished strength, realizing my physical limitations. I thought it was a good move. But as we got into that house, there are so many things that needed attention. Mind you, we're quite happy and comfortable there, but things that we'd like to change. We haven't gotten around to doing all that needs to be done. But the Lord here speaks of building a new house. We may never get involved in that, but older houses have a way of needing repair, needing addition, needing attention, and I believe that one of the vital areas in which God was very interested was the area of the roof of the house should be in good order, because he says to his people, thou shalt make a parapet or a battlement for thy roof, a railing around the roof. These Easterners made it a habit, was one of their favorite customs. In the evening of the day, they'd get on the roof, a flat roof. They'd relax there. They'd have reclining chairs there and relax and visit with each other on the roof. And if the roof did not have some protective railing, then there was always the possibility, especially of younger folk, going to the edge, falling off. If any man falls from there, you would bring blood on your house. And it's a terrible thing to be responsible for the injury and the death of anyone. And I believe that God is very interested in our safety. He wants all of us, not just the young people, but older ones as well. He wants us safe in his tender love and care. And he has outlined certain precautions that we should take. Now that's one scripture. Turn with me, please, if you don't mind, to Psalm 127. The 127th Psalm. We have an important verse there too. And in this beautiful psalm, we read, except the Lord build the house. In other words, we can't do much by ourselves. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Proverbs chapter 14, the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Let me read that again for you, another version of this beautiful chapter. Every wise man buildeth his house, but the foolish plucketh it down with his hands. The woman is also a builder. The man builds and the woman builds. The last scripture to which I'd like you to turn is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, or his cultivated field. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth on it. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon it. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Trust that God will bless to our hearts the reading of these verses of His precious Word. I attended a missionary meeting a few years ago, and I remember sitting in the audience and listening as one of God's missionary servants gave a report. And I cannot say that as I sit in an audience and listen to what is given from the platform, that I swallow everything hook, line, and sinker. And I would advise you to listen carefully to what is said, because unless it corresponds with the teaching of God's Word, you can reject it. If it is in accordance with the plain teaching of the Word of God, then I say, listen, accept it, act upon it. But this dear brother, he said something to the effect, you can forget about older people. Now, being in that category, I find it impossible to forget about older people. He says to the church, the believers gathered there, he says, let us concentrate on the young people. They are the ones that face serious temptations. They are the ones that face troubles, enormous problems that we older ones know nothing about. And they are the hope of the future, the rising generation. Let's concentrate on them. Well, I agree that we should pay attention to the younger people. I believe that we should be interested in their safety. I believe that we should be interested in doing everything possible to get their feet planted on the solid rock and walking in the right ways of the Lord. And at the same time, I don't think it is right to forget about the older folk. Because if the Lord's people were to forget about me, for instance, well, I have a hard time. But wherever I go, whenever I have opportunity, I ask the Lord's people, pray for me. I am one of those standing in the need of prayer. What about you? I believe all of us need the prayerful support of each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other. And we need to remember the needs of the younger generation, because they have inquisitive minds. They're always exploring. They climb the roof. They go on top of the house. And they go along the edge or the ledge. And there's a danger that faces them there. That's a danger zone. So God says to protect those who go on the roof of the house. Build a parapet. Build a protective railing. An old farmer, I understand he had a cow that kicked over 3 buckets of milk. 3 consecutive days after he had the bucket nearly full of milk, the cow kicked viciously, violently, and all his milk was lost. This old farmer was a good Quaker, religious guy. he stands and he talks to the cow. He says, "Listen, cow. Thou knowest that I am a good Quaker, so I cannot curse thee. I cannot strike thee. I would not kick thee. But listen, I could sell thee to a Presbyterian." Actually, I don't know that Quakers are any better than Presbyterians when it comes to violence. I don't know. But this farmer didn't want to fall from grace, the grace of his brethren. He didn't want to come under the discipline of the church. And so he was kind to the cow and just gave that cow a word of caution and warning. How much the cow understood of what he had to say, I cannot tell. But he was trying to protect himself from falling from grace. I believe it's a terrible thing to see one fall from grace. It's an awful thing to see a believer get hurt. Even an unbeliever. It's a terrible thing to see one stumble and fall, especially if serious injury is involved. And the Lord has our best interests at heart. And some folk hate restrictions. They hate to be fenced in. You know, when I was a young lad, one of my favorite songs, it was a worldly song. Some of you older folk may remember hearing it, but one of my favorite songs was this, "Don't Fence Me In." And that song just touched a chord in my heart because I grew up on the mission field. I grew up with parents who were belonging to the old school, rather rigid and strict, and they didn't let me have my own way. I had to do as I was told. And one of the strictest sort of mother and father I had. Now I think that God has outlined in His Word instructions for our protection to keep us from falling. He has no pleasure in seeing us injured or hurt in any wise. He demonstrates His love to us by His restrictions and His instructions. When I was a youngster, my folk used to tell me what time to come home in the evening, at night, where to go, what to do. I resented it. I said to myself, "You just wait until I'm a man. I'll do as I please." But thank God for the restrictions, the restraints, the constraints that were placed upon me, because I believe it helped to mold my character and make me what I am today. You know, as I look back over the years, I even thank God. If my dad was alive, I'd say to him, "Daddy, thank you for spanking me when I needed it. Thank you for being what I consider to be harsh." Sometimes I thought, that's kind of cruel, isn't it? But you know, it is for our benefit and for our blessing. Now, the Lord says to His people here, children of Israel, when you build a house, and I would add to that, when you're repairing your house, if you have an old house, it's already constructed, and there's no parapet there, make sure that you build a parapet, a battlement, a wall, or railing along the edge or the roof. It forms a kind of a platform for the edge of the house. In the military, it is used to protect soldiers. It's a danger zone. And we don't go leaning over it and sticking our head out because the enemy can take aim and see just where we are. shoot his deadly arrows, and we'll be in real trouble. So keep your distance. If you fall from the roof, you become easy prey for the evil one. Now there are four parapets I'm going to recommend that we build. Make sure that you build them. Four parapets. First of all, a parapet of intercession. Build a parapet of intercession, particularly for our young people. The old people need prayers, and the young ones need it too. Intercession. Some time ago I told you that I'm just a born family man. I was born into a big family, one of 10 children. I'm number 2. And now that I'm grown up and have my own family, God has blessed my wife and I with daughters. And up to this point in time, we have 10 grandchildren. Thank God for every one of them. The next time there's an addition to our family, it'll be a great grand. So you see, we're getting there. See? A great grand on the way right now. When we have our family prayers now, it takes us a little longer to go through the list. What are we doing? We pray for them one by one. Pray for them. Building a parapet. I would hate to see any of them fall over the ledge. I'd hate to see any of them get hurt, get injured, meet spiritual catastrophe. And so day by day, we pray for them. Beginning with the oldest, we come down the line. And sometimes, I don't even recall the names right off the bat. As for the birthdays and those other special occasions, they often slip the memory, but I'm glad that I have a wife that has a better brain than I have. Back it up. You know, she backs me up with the information. But we pray for them. What are we doing? As we have our family devotions, we are building a parapet of intercession. Now let me tell you, my grandkids need it. My children need it. My neighbors, their children need it. Relatives and friends, they need it. And more than ever before, the parapet of intercession is vital. It's necessary. It's important, of paramount importance. And every Christian should be interested in building a parapet of intercession for the protection, building a wall of spiritual protection for the younger ones as they grow up. Something that has always amazed me. I tell the folk at the Fort Lauderdale Bible Chapel, and I tell you folk here too, prayer meetings are not popular meetings. I don't know how it is here in the Hollywood Bible Chapel, but I've discovered prayer meetings are not popular meetings. In the assembly directory, you may count 100, 150 names of people who are in the fellowship of a local testimony. And you announce Wednesday night prayer meeting. And you have 15, 20 present for prayer. Now I don't know how it is with you on your prayer meeting. A dear brother announced at a small meeting in our chapel recently, I think we should have an all-night prayer meeting for a crusade that's coming up. I think we should have an all-night prayer meeting. And some person says, I never heard of that. Is that too much to ask? Do you think it's too much to ask? I thank God for those who are exercised to spend time at the throne of grace interceding for those who are in danger. Because we have a lot of young folk in grave danger. Some of them are going very near the edge. You know, it reminds me of a big property owner who wanted to hire a driver for his coach and team of horses. So he had six horses all hooked up in this coach, and they pulled the coach wherever he wanted to go. He wants a driver. So he asked the first applicant. He says, "We are in precipitous country. A lot of mountains around here and dangerous roads. But how near can you drive to the precipice?" Applicant number one responds, "I can drive about a foot away from the precipice and you'd be safe, sir, because I know how to handle the horses. Thank you very much." All right, you may have a seat. Driver number two applies, "How near can you drive to the precipice?" He says, "Near to the precipice? Well, I'd say between 4 and 6 inches. I can put my wheel right up close to the precipice and you'll be safe because I know how to handle those horses." He says, "Thank you, you may sit." Driver number three, "How near can you drive to the precipice?" Number three driver says, "Sir, when I'm driving along a precipitous road, I stay as far from the precipice as I can because you never can tell when those horses may bolt, make a wrong move, but I keep away. I keep to the other side of the road, not to the precipitous area." This gentleman says, "You're the man I want. You're the guy I'll employ. You'll take charge of my coach and my horses. You'll drive me wherever I want to go. You get the job." I would wish that our young people would see the folly of going near to the precipice. They'd see the folly of mixing with the ungodly, attending their parties, going to all these shows and having what they call a good time. Because you become what your friends are. You become what those folk are, those with whom you associate. And we see so many young people associating with the wrong crowd. Have you seen it here in Hollywood? May God grant that we'll have it on our hearts to build that parapet of intercession on behalf of our loved ones. A young prodigal boy got a message that mom was dying. "Will you come home? Mom is on her way. It seems like we're losing her." And he packed his bags and returned home as quickly as he could. But it took him a while to get there. When he got there, he looked around the yard, and behind the house and that farm, there was a freshly molded grave. So he rushed straight to the grave, put down his suitcase, and he cried, a young man, tears streaming down his eyes. And he prayed. You know what his prayer was? "Oh God, who is going to pray for me now?" That was his concern. Mom prayed for him for years. And he felt he needed somebody to intercede on his behalf. Can you think of someone who needs your prayers? The Negro spiritual says, "It's me. Me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." I need the prayers of God's people. You need the prayers of God's people. For the enemy of our souls is taking aim. Watch out! He's ready to shoot his fiery dart, cut you down. And I've seen a number who have fallen. I could call names of people who have fallen. I've seen a number who have been shot, injured, mortally wounded by the arch enemy of our souls. And more than ever before, we need to build a parapet of intercession. A parapet of instruction is necessary. Instruction in biblical principles. I think one of the failures of our assemblies in general is that we don't have adequate instruction for our young people. Repetition is a technique that is utilized in the educational system of this country. Repeating something that you were told last week, last month, the teacher goes over the lesson. Revision. How easily we forget. And that parapet of instruction is also vital. The public school system, as you are aware, is corrupt to the core. Some of the things that are happening in the public schools of the United States of America, it sends shivers up your spine to hear about it, to read about it. Some of the things that are taking place on our campuses, our high schools and elementary schools, the iniquity, the murders that are being committed, the things that are being taught to our youngsters, diametrically opposed to the teaching of God's Word. And our young people need the Word of the living God. So where do they get it? If you are a believer, if you have young folk, if you know little ones growing up, and you have some responsibility toward them, I would plead with you, build a parapet of instruction. Teach them the things of God. One of my little grandsons said to me a couple of years ago, he says, I would like you to come to a Christmas party that my class is having at the mall. We are going to give a recital in the mall at Sawgrass Mills, the big reception area. And will you come? I said, yes, I'll come. I'd like to hear you sing. And when I went, they sang beautifully. They put on a lovely performance, but it was Christmas time. And they were singing about Santa Claus coming to town and jingle bells. And I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Beautiful songs, but not one single song said anything about Jesus our Savior. I believe that's the very core of the Christmas message. They eliminate Jesus Christ our Lord altogether. They are saying to the kids, we don't want to have anything to do with that man. Cut it out. Well, a parapet of instruction is necessary, and if they don't get the teaching, the principles of the Word of God in the home or in the Sunday school, then they will be eternally the poorer, lacking the most vital element of their education. And no person, I don't believe there's any person alive who is truly educated unless he has a knowledge of the Scriptures. You get that? No education program is complete without a knowledge of the Scriptures. So, build a parapet of intercession, build a parapet of instruction, build a parapet of inspiration. Inspire our young folk. I believe Moses inspired Joshua. I believe Paul inspired Timothy. I believe that many of the people in the Old and New Testament, they had younger folk watching them. You know, my daddy inspired me. You know, one of the things that blessed my heart as I grew up on the mission field in Jamaica, I saw my dad preaching in the open air. He was a gospel preacher in the open air in rural Jamaica. And after a meeting, he'd invite the people who wanted to be saved to step forward, make a public profession of faith in Christ, and he'd kneel on the hard ground with them, put his arm around those folks, and kneel down and cry to God to save their souls with an open Bible showing them the way of salvation. It was an inspiration to me. Blessed my heart. And there are innumerable stories of folk who have been inspirations to younger people. Older folk inspiring younger people. And I would encourage you to build a parapet of inspiration. 16-year-old girl comes home 2 a.m. drunk. Her mom meets her soon after she opens the front door. And the mom is mad. Is this the hour you're coming in? Do you think that it is proper for a 16-year-old kid to be out on the street at this hour? She says, Mom, when you party, you come in at 4 o'clock. The mom didn't set her any good example. She's just following what mommy did. Make sure that you set a good example. Make sure that you build a parapet of instruction. The Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, be followers of me. You do what I do. Follow me as I follow Christ. Oh, may God help us to be diligent followers. So I would encourage you, build a parapet of intercession, a parapet of instruction, a parapet of inspiration. And last of all, build a parapet of interception. I like that word. Footballers are keen on that word. That's one of the key words in a football game. And some of us, when we watch a football game and we see an interception, ready to jump up, ready to clap, ready to shout. One of my little grandsons, his father was a football coach or a football player with Corn Huskers. You ever heard about the Corn Huskers? Well, one of my sons-in-law used to play with the Corn Huskers. Nice guy. Studying for his PhD now. But he teaches his little son. And his little son is quite an avid football fan. He watches all the games on TV. And he himself is learning to play. And one day I say to him, you're giving us a running commentary. You're telling us all about the game. But the word is not ception. The word is interception. He says, interception is too long. Football is a fast game. You have to say it fast. So, ception. That's my word for it. Ception. Well, God bless him. It means to take, to seize, to interrupt the progress, stop the course, prevent, hinder, interrupt communication or connection with the opposing team. I'll tell you one little story and I close. On the subject of interception. I know a Christian man. He had a 19-year-old daughter. Madly in love. With a handsome face guy. And this Christian man did his own private detective work and got a rundown on this guy's affairs and his background. And he came up with the fact that this guy is quite an unsavory character. He tried to discourage a friendship between his daughter and this young man. One day he comes home from work, he opens the mailbox, he sees a letter there from this guy. He takes it out, puts it in his pocket, takes it to his bedroom, himself and his wife open the letter, they read it. And that letter was very disturbing to them. It contains some information that opened their eyes real wide. And you know what this guy, this Christian man says? He says, I have intercepted this letter and I'm going to act upon the information which I have. And as long as I live, I will not give my permission. I'll do everything within my power to hinder any further relationship. I congratulate him. When the daughter heard what the father did, she was roasting mad.
You know, she says to her daddy, "Daddy, you have invaded my privacy. You shouldn't do that. I am an adult. And you should never. It's a very low thing for you to open my personal private mail. You should never do that. You've hurt me deeply." Daddy says, "As long as you're under this roof, I reserve the paternal prerogative of looking at any mail that comes into my box." And he pleaded with her to forget about that relationship. After a while, she calmed down. Better sense prevailed. You know, my wife and I visited the home of this young woman not too long ago. In due time, God provided a wonderful Christian husband for her. Now she has a family of her own, and she's seeking to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But had she gone the other route, it would have been nothing but sorrow, shame, suffering, and trouble. So I thank God for those who are exercised to develop the technique, if in an extreme case it's necessary, to intercept the word of God. Speaks of some being snatched as brands from the burning. Necessary. It sounds harsh, doesn't it? But I'd say build a parapet of intercession, a parapet of instruction, a parapet of inspiration, and when necessary, a parapet of interception. Thank God the Lord intercepted us. Some of us were on the way to hell, but Jesus saved us. Thank God for that brother, that sister, that rescued us and put a hand on our shoulder, that kept us from going through the doors unsaved. Posed a question. It may have been embarrassing, but we praise God for those who have that ministry. My time is up, but I leave with you 3 words. Build a parapet. Work at it. Be not weary in well-doing. Build a parapet for the preservation of those who may be in danger, for your own personal safety, and for the safety of your loved ones. Intercession, instruction, inspiration, and interception. Build a parapet so that on the day when we stand before the Lord, we'll not be ashamed. Shall we bow in prayer? Lord, we have read from your holy word that except you build a house, they labor in vain that build it. We feel so inadequate to do anything that will magnify and glorify your name. But we place ourselves in your care, and we thank you for the privilege of being workers together with you. We pray, Lord, that we may be diligent in our assigned duties. Grant that we may have the joy of laboring faithfully in your vineyard, interceding at your throne of grace, giving instruction and inspiration to the younger generation, and where necessary and possible, even interception, to snatch them as brands from the burning. Lord, we realize that the time is short. We realize that our opportunities for serving you are limited. But we thank you that we have this privilege now. May we grasp it, and may we serve acceptably with reverence and godly fear until the day when you call us home. We give you thanks for our coming together. We thank you for your holy word. Bless it to our hearts, and dismiss us now with your blessing. We ask in our Savior's precious and most holy name. Amen.